Jesus rebelled against that commandment of men stuff and making traditions of things, and he called them hypocrites. And then here's where I want to get to in verse 14. Now, Jesus is here in this talk with them, and he says, now, you say that we should wash our hands before we eat. Now, you've heard it talked and taught that this was just ceremony, right? This was a ceremonial washing. And well, it may have been, but that's totally irrelevant to what this passage has to teach us. Now, let me ask you a few questions. Should you wash your hands before you eat? All right. In Bible times, they ate more with their hands than we do. We have forks and spoons, and that's a little more sanitary, but they would break bread, they would sop, they would eat with their fingers. How many knows that they could have just gone to the bathroom, come back and ate, but that would not have defiled them? Would it have made them sick? Maybe. Will you're not washing your hands before you eat, could that make you sick? But will it defile you? Now, you got to stay with me, okay? I'm on the edge here a little bit today. Imagine that. Anybody's ever heard that if you smoke a cigarette, you're going to go to hell? You don't hear that around Kentucky. Carolinas. Have you ever heard that, though? How about, let's do it, this one's big here. If you drink alcohol, you'll go to hell. Right? Now, if you smoke too many cigarettes, will it kill you? Will it give you lung cancer? Could it give you lung cancer? If you drink too much liquor, alcoholic beverages, will it pickle your liver and give you cirrhosis? Will it kill you? But will it defile you? You see, our problem is we don't understand what the word defile means. We're told, Jesus here clearly says here, now let's read the text that I want to get to, verse 14 and 15. Am I okay? I mean, you're still with me now. Don't cut the light off yet. Just hang in there with me and I'll make it right. Verse 14. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Now get the picture. There's a crowd of people here he's been addressing and talking to in verses 6 through 13. He's been addressing and talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. And all of a sudden now he wants everybody to hear this. Hearken to me. Everybody come here. I got something I want you to hear. Come here. I want you to make sure you get this. Hearken to me, unto me, every one of you, and understand. How many thinks that this is something that's going to be pretty important? Pretty important. Jesus is going to say something here. And he's not going to apologize to the Pharisees. And then he says this, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. What can defile him? What can send him to hell? What goes in him? Nothing. Can smoking cigarettes send you to hell? Can it kill you? Yeah. Can drinking too much send you to hell? Can it kill you? Yes. Defile. See, that's the problem. We don't understand the word defile. Here is the word defile in the Greek, and what it means. Klunao. And what it means is to render unhallowed. Now, what does that mean, to render unhallowed? What it simply means is this, to make unfit for God's purposes. Everything that God uses is holy. Everything God uses is holy. And if it's unhallowed, if it's unholy, what it means is it's unfit for God's purposes. Going on with the verse. What does defiled mean? Not fit for God's purpose. Everybody write that down if you write it right. What does defiled mean? Unfit for God's purposes. Now, let's read the verse again with that understanding. Verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into the man can make him unfit for God's purposes. There is nothing from the out, the coming in, that can defile the man. Going on. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. What makes us unfit for God's purposes? Smoking cigarettes? What makes us unfit? Come on. Does that make sense to you now? Does that passage all of a sudden make sense to you? See, defilement means that you are no longer fit for God's purposes. How many of us ever feel like we've teeter-tottered on the border sometime of being made unfit for God's purposes? We've said some things. We've let some things come out of us. It's made us unholy. It's defiled us. What goes in won't do it. What does Jesus say defiles you? What comes out. Now, let me show you one more of these, and then we're going to get on into some other stuff. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 6. Now, James chapter 3 is about the tongue. How many knows the tongue's a bad boy? Whole chapter says, man, that's an unruly member. That's the worst thing on your whole body. You know, Jesus talked about cutting your hand off, cutting your foot off. But, buddy, I'm telling you, we ought to cut our tongue off, shouldn't we? The tongue. Now, look what, and you can read this whole chapter, but I just want to get this one verse, James chapter 3 and verse 6. And the tongue is a fire. It's not like a fire, it is a fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That word world there is the Greek word cosmos. It means the system. It means the arrangements of things. Listen, your tongue is an arrangement of iniquity. Your tongue is a world. It's an arrangement. It's a system of iniquity. If you do not bridle your tongue, if you do not get the Spirit of God wrapped around and bridling your tongue, if you do not learn how to wrap your tongue up and hold your tongue, what happens to you is your tongue is just nothing but a system, a world of iniquity, world of sin, cosmos. Your tongue is a cosmos, a system, a world of sin. Now look what it does. So is the tongue among our members. Now I could go two ways here. I could go members, body, individual, or members in a church. And either way will work. Because first the natural and then the spiritual. We understand this. But I want you to understand that your tongue can make your body sick. I've seen people can't get healed because of their tongue. They keep defiling. They keep letting that world of iniquity come out of them. Keeps their body sick. What will it do to your members? Read it now. Defileth the whole body. The whole body. What does your tongue defile? The whole body. Now I could do spiritual, I could do natural. You understand? But your tongue can make your body sick. A bad tongue in this congregation can make this congregation sick. It defileth. It can make a bad tongue in here can make us all unfit for God's purposes. Oh, that can't be. You need to read Numbers 13. Spies went out and came back with an evil report. Made the whole congregation unfit for God's purposes. Oh, man. What does the tongue do? It's a world, it's a cosmos, it's a system, it's an arrangement of iniquity. It's an arrangement of sin. Without being bridled, that thing will set your course for fire. The NIV Bible says, corrupts. The tongue corrupts the entire body. And it sets a course of life, sets the course of life on fire. Do you understand that your tongue sets your life good or bad? Do you understand that the power of life and death is where? In the tongue. That what comes out of our mouth sets the course of our life. It defiles us. And it is set on fire of hell. What initiates the fire in your tongue? You see that? Hell. What does the tongue do? Defileth the whole body. What defiles us? What comes out? The tongue. What does defile mean? How many want to be fit for God's purposes? You don't want to have spiritual age. You don't want a life of hell. How many believe you can live in life in hell on the earth? Do you believe that? Do you believe you can gnash your teeth and live where the worm dieth not? Do you believe that you can live through hell while you're breathing? Did Adam? Did Adam die when he ate of the tree? Was he still breathing? You can live away from God in hell and breathe. Now, Tongue can defile the whole body. Now, I want to look at and talk about the clean contaminates. Whoops, say it again. The unclean contaminates the clean. There is an ignorance in the body of Christ that we need to be made aware of. How many knows what Terry ministered not too long ago on I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Now, what does ignorant mean? Does it mean lack of knowledge, or does it mean that the information is available but we ignore it? See, the word in itself tells you we ignore the information. We ignore it. Say you didn't understand gravity. You were ignorant about gravity. And you climbed up on a 10-story building. And you jumped off. And you're ignorant of gravity. And there's another guy beside you who knows all about gravity. And he jumps off too. The guy that knows about gravity and the guy that's ignorant about gravity, which one's going to hit first? They jump at the same time. Whether they knew it or didn't know it, it didn't matter, right? Is one of them any more dead than the other? No. And whether you know it or not, it doesn't matter. The information is available. We ignore it. The Bible is clear what happens to us when we get around the unclean. There's a lot of information in the Bible about it. But we ignore it. And we go jumping off buildings. Defying the laws of God. Is gravity a law, an unchangeable law of God? I don't care if you're up there in an airplane. You shut off that motor. The power of lift will succeed to the power of gravity. Whether you ignore it or not. Oh, the motor's not really off. Okay, here we go. I want you to see something. First, I've got to show you that your human spirit can be defiled after you're saved. Look with me, please, in book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, people have heard and had it said to them, once you're saved, then your spirit is fine. Now, how many of you, Ephesians tells us that our spirit was dead, but when we came to Christ Jesus, it was raised from the dead, right? It was brought in. But can after that resurrection, can it be defiled? Can it be contaminated? Can it be made filthy? See, I want you to know this, because if you don't know this, then you won't understand how you get spiritual AIDS. In 1 Corinthians, Paul has talked to them in chapter 6 about the promises of God. And then he comes to chapter 7, and he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, what's he saying here? Can your body become filthy after you're saved? How does your body get filthy after you're saved? Don't wash it. Can it be contaminated? And that's what the NIV Bible says. Put that up there. The NIV Bible says it becomes contaminated. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. Can your body be contaminated with a virus? Can it? So then can your spirit? If contaminates what? Body and spirit. Can your spirit be contaminated? You need to know this. The Bible says it can. The Bible says that these are Christians. These are tongue-talking Christians, but these are behind in no gifts. And these Christians, Paul is saying here clearly, your spirit can be contaminated, and you have got to make sure it's not. Make sure your spirit's not contaminated. How do you do it? By purifying yourself. Flesh and spirit. Unto what? Unto the holiness and the fear of God. Now, what does it perfecting holiness mean? Does that mean we've got to get perfected before we come to God? No. No. Perfecting holiness. Keeping yourself so you're not defiled. Keeping yourself so that you can function in the purposes of God. See, our tongue defiles us. If we'll keep our tongue, if we'll clean up our tongue, if we'll watch our tongue, then we won't be defiled and we'll be perfecting ourselves in the holiness of God. We can be used of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Can your spirit be made filthy or contaminated after you've had salvation. Yes, how? How can that happen? We're going to talk about it. Now, let me show you how it can be happened. Let's look now at some things that that happens to our spirit. Look at, if you want to, look at 2 Corinthians 6:17. You're right there anyway. 2 Corinthians 6:17. And then the rest of you can just jot down because we really won't have time to turn to them. 2 Corinthians 6:17. The Apostle Paul teaches here, and he says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not what? The unclean thing. Don't touch that unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now, does that mean that we've got to get all cleaned up before we can come to God? No, what it simply means is you've got to stop defiling yourself. You've got to stop touching the unclean things. You got to stop doing that for Him to receive you. He can't use us if we keep defiling ourselves. If we keep getting around things that defile us, He can't use us. He can't receive us. But if we will stop defiling ourselves, if we'll stop touching unclean things, He can receive us. Is that what the verse says? Is that clear? Now, is this a New Testament or an Old Testament scripture? Is Paul teaching don't touch the unclean in the New Testament? But where is he getting it from? Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of this. The Old Testament goes over and over and over. And I just want to use a couple of them rapidly. Let me just show you these. Write them down or turn if you'd like. But I've got to move pretty quick. How do we become defiled? We touch unclean things. Now, the unclean thing is taught in the New Testament. And the next thing I want us to see is being ignorant does not change the judgment. Look at Leviticus 5:2. Leviticus 5:2. Write it down. It's going to be up on the overhead. Leviticus 5:2. "Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of an unclean creeping thing, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty." Now, if you touch something unclean, what does it do to you? Makes you unclean. Now, when you touch it, do you make it clean? Or does it make you unclean? Folks, we've got to see this. The unclean has a far greater effect on the clean than the clean has on the unclean. Have you ever seen people get married and maybe she's saved and he's not? What does she say? "Oh, I'm going to get him saved." But what usually happens? He pulls her out. Vice versa. I'm telling you, you touch the unclean thing, it makes you unclean. Is that what the Bible says? Now, because you don't know, you didn't know that, because you didn't know that that was what was going to happen to you, because this girl didn't know that this guy was going to pull her out of the kingdom of God and cause her to go to hell, make her unfit, because she didn't know that, did it change the verdict? Did it change the judgment? Did it make her not guilty? What does it say? Give me the scripture. Read it to me. "Though you didn't know it, does not make them not guilty." Jump off the 10-story building. I didn't know gravity wouldn't cause me to fall. But did it? Does it change what happens to you when you hit? So being ignorant does not change the judgment. Look at another one. I want you to know too. We can't touch the unclean and do the things of God. What did I just say? Can't touch the unclean and do the things of God. God will cut you off. Now, notice it doesn't say God will kill you. I want to make sure we get that in there. I want to make sure I don't forget. But God will cut you off from His people. Let's read this verse. Leviticus 7:21. "Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanliness of man, or an unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat the flesh and sacrifice a peace offering, which pertains unto God, unto the Lord." What's happened here? What's he done? Done two things. Touched the unclean thing and did what? Did things that were pertaining to the Lord. Right? Doing two things. This individual. Any person that does this, what happens to him? "Even that soul shall be cut off from his people." Does he say, "I'll kill him"? What happens to him? "I'll cut him off. I'm not going to let you do the unclean and come into my body and bring that unclean into my body." Paul talks to the in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and there is this man there, and he's having a sexual relationship with his mother-in-law or his mother or something. It's very perverted. And Paul says, get that leaven out, because the whole loaf has become leavened. Listen, a lot of times people aren't leaving. God's moving them. Now, they might see this and think I'm talking about it. And I am. Because I want them to know, listen, you didn't leave us. God moved you. I might edit that out. And I might not. But I want you to understand, God, the people that are trying to do what God's called them to do, are people that are attempting to go on with God, keep themselves purposed in God, useful for God, for His purposes and for His use, and doing the thing that He's called them to do, God will not let that be in that body. Did I hit my hand enough? One more time, get it. Will He cut them off? Okay. So what happens if you're ignorant about this? Does it change the verdict? God's going to judge it the same way. What happens if you're trying to do both? If you're touching unclean, you keep touching the unclean thing and keep trying to do the things of God. What will God do to us? He'll cut us off. He just moves. He won't kill us. He didn't say He'll kill you. He just won't let you be around those people. All right? I want to say one more thing. We must purify ourselves. Numbers 19:20. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself. Now, how do we purify? How do we get pure? How do we purify? Purify ourselves. Say that back to me. We purify ourselves. We purify ourselves. He says, if you won't purify yourself, here's what's going to happen. If you touch the unclean thing and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. Now, you get saved and that purifies you, right? Until you get around something unclean. Now what do? You get saved again? Huh? Can you get saved again and again and again? Well, let me show you. What do you do to purify? What does the Scriptures teach? First thing you got to do to understand how to purify yourself once you've touched an unclean thing is you've got to repent. What's the first thing Paul says to do? Peter says to do. What shall we do? They ask him. What's the first thing? Repent. Repent. Now, what does repent mean? Come down to the altars and cry? Say, oh, I'm so sorry. I got around that. No. What does repent mean? Repent means adjust your mind to receive spiritual truth. The spiritual truth in this matter is to stay away from that. The spiritual truth in this matter is that thing, if I get around it, it makes me unclean. The spiritual truth in this is that thing gets inside of me and I become negative and I become down and I get sick and I get ill and I get touchy and I can't function and I'm defiled and I can't function for the things of God. That's the spiritual truth. You adjust your thinking to see what that's doing to you. What's another thing you do? Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, to wash yourself with the washing by the water of the Word. You got to get in. He's going to present unto himself a people that are sanctified and purified by the washing of the water of the Word. You get in that Word, it'll clean you up. I mean, you really get into it. You don't get into it just to see what so-and-so doctrine or that doctrine. You get into it and you let that Word of God speak to your heart and to your spirit. It will clean you up. That's the people he's going to present unto himself. What is the first thing you need to do? Repent. Second thing, washing of the water of the Word. Third thing, reactivate the blood of Jesus Christ. Every time in the Old Testament that people sinned, they brought another sacrifice. Thank God we don't have to kill bulls and goats anymore. Aren't you glad? But do you need to activate the blood of Jesus Christ? Yes, you do. You need to come at Holy Communion or in the fellowship of the body of Christ. We need to come and we need to activate the blood of Jesus Christ again in our life. Because the blood doesn't wash our sins from us. What does the blood do? Washes us from our sin. That's what the Bible says. Washes you from your sins. That thing, you can stay there with it or you can get moved on. But you have to activate the blood. Everything in the sanctuary, everything in the temple was purified or sanctified, how? By the sprinkling of the blood. And every time we want to get purified, we repent. We do what? Second thing?
Get
washed by the water of the Word. Find out what the Word says about it. Repent. Get our minds adjusted to receive the spiritual truth of the matter. Washed by the water of the Word and activate the blood of Jesus Christ again. Now, let me ask you a few questions. If you touch an unclean thing, what does it do to you? Okay. What defiles you? What defiles a man? Smoking cigarettes. What defiles a man? Comes out of a person's mouth. What will your tongue do for you? It will send you to hell. What a little member, and what a great thing it listeth. It talks about the course that even a little rudder of a ship can set for a big old boat. Your rudder is your tongue. And it'll set your course for the things of God, the purposes of God. Or it'll set you to be defiled. To be defiled or not to be defiled? That is the question.